Father, thank you for this morning, Lord, and this time we can be together, Father, and this new year that we're just looking to see you in new and wonderful ways, Lord. And we just ask that you would bless this brief message and the message to come this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Job chapter 42. I believe Pastor had talked a couple weeks ago in a wrap about how Christians today are really looking for like an experience. You know, they're looking for this manifestation of God, and it's usually usually emotional, where like, oh, I can see, you know, I can feel Jesus, I can, you know, I can, you know, I can touch God, and you know, and it's very easy to get subjective in that. And as I was reading the book of Job, I saw verse 5 of chapter 42, which says, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." And the word hearing of the ear talks about hearsay. In fact, 14 chapters of the book of Job are Job's friends telling him who God is. You know, like, God is this way, like, God is just, or, you know, God is righteous, or God is holy. And they're, you know, and they're preaching this to him to tell him, like, okay, this is how it is, this is who God is. And even Job had his own presuppositions about who God was, and, you know, okay, like, as long as I do the sacrifices, as long as I do all this, like, all these bad things won't happen to me, my kids won't die, I'll stay rich, everything's just going to be fine. As long as I do, you know, these things, you know, I'm going to be okay. So even Job had his own hearsay sort of in his mind. And I love the revelation that it's like, but now mine eye sees you. And regarding the hearsay, it reminds me of Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." So even we see here, God himself, he came to earth, and people are saying, well, it's obviously John the Baptist, or he's a prophet. I mean, even a lot of religions today, you know, it's like Jesus was an angel, or Jesus was a prophet. So there's a lot of hearsay out there. But in verse 15, he saith unto them, "Whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And I love thinking about the intimacy that the disciples had with Jesus. And like, okay, you had all these others, you had all these people in the countryside and in the towns, and it's like, oh, well, you know, he's doing miracles, so he must be John the Baptist, or he must be a prophet, or he's speaking in such a way, so he must be a prophet. But they had been with him for a while and really heard him speak, and they're like, this, you know, this is something unique, you know, this is something that we've never heard before. And Jesus goes on to say, "Your Father in heaven has revealed this unto you." This isn't something that can be easily explained by what you're seeing or what you're hearing, but really this is spiritual in nature. John chapter 12, and starting in verse 20, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" And isn't that like our heart today? Father, we would see Jesus. We want to see God. As Christians, it's not out of a wrong desire. Like, we want to see God. We want to see him move in our lives. We want to experience what God has for us. That's just as the fact that we're Christians. Like, we want to know our Savior. "Philip cometh and telleth Andrew," and again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And I love how Jesus kind of like answered that request. It's not like, "Here I am, I'm God, I'm the Son of God, you've seen me, okay, you can go away now, that's fine." But really, he answered them saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify your name. Here we can break this down into three beautiful ways that we can see Jesus. And really, we see him in his glory. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Like, we're going to see, we see Christ in his glory. The first would be, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. So how do we see Jesus? Well, first and foremost, we stop looking at ourselves. We stop being self-occupied. We stop looking for how I can fulfill some kind of lust or desire outside of the will of God. I look to the cross, really, like the cross becomes my occupation. And then there's fruit that comes from that. We even see that in 25. If I love my life, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. But if I hate my life, meaning I'm looking at Christ and I'm like, this little thing, I hate it because all it does is bring me pain. All it does is get in the way of me seeing Christ. And the second would be, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Christ's commandment to us, like that we would love one another, that we would show mercy, that we would reveal Christ to other people. We see Jesus in that as well. You know, maybe just a kind word, a verse given in season just to build somebody up. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, and what a precious gift that is. How else would we reveal God if God wasn't living inside of us? And we serve God in spirit and in truth. Finally, and I think it's hard to see it like this sometimes, but when our soul is troubled, maybe in a trial, maybe there's a detail of life that takes us completely out of our comfort zone, and it troubles us, but we don't look at ourselves for the provision. We understand that there's a purpose, that there is a plan, and thanks be to God, there's a provision. And I love that we see this in what Jesus says. It's like, Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. So we can see Jesus when we stop looking at ourselves, when we serve him in love and mercy and truth by the Spirit. And we see Jesus in those trials of our lives when it's dark, when it's cold. We can see him even in our suffering because he suffered so greatly for us. And ultimately, for all those three things, God gets the glory. And I love the fact that the beginning and the end of this saying are, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Father, glorify your name. God gets the glory when we see Jesus. Amen.